Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for August 8th, 2019, looking at 2 Corinthians 8. Paul writes, "Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace of God that was given in the churches of Macedonia. In a severe test of trouble, their overflowing joy and their deep poverty overflowed into an abundance of their generosity. I testify that of their own free will they gave according to their ability and even beyond their ability, pleading with us with an urgent request for the gracious privilege of joining in this service to the saints. As they did this, not as we had expected, but in keeping with God's will, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. As a result, we urge Titus, since he had already made a beginning, to bring to completion this gracious gift on your part. But just as you overflow in every way, in faith, in word, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you also overflow in this gracious gift. I do not say this as a command, but to test how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. And I am giving advice in this matter because it is going to be helpful for you. Last year you were not only the first to take action, but also the first to be willing. Now bring the work to completion too, so that your eagerness to start may be matched by your completing it with what you have. For if the eagerness is there, a gift is acceptable according to what someone has, not according to what he does not have. Certainly, our goal is not that others take it easy while you are burdened, but that there may be equality. At the present time, your abundance will provide what they lack, in order that their abundance will also provide what you lack. In this way, there will be equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you, because he accepted our encouragement and went to you eagerly of his own free will. We sent along with him the brother who is recognized by all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. Not only that, but also he was elected by the churches to be our traveling companion as we administer this gracious gift to the glory of the Lord and to show our eagerness to help. We are trying to avoid any criticism of the way we are administering this lavish gift. To be sure, we are taking into consideration what is proper, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of other people. We sent along with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many tests that he is eager, and now is even more eager, because of the great confidence he has in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. Our brothers, messengers sent by the churches, are the glory of Christ. So then, show the evidence of your love in the sight of the churches, and demonstrate why we boasted to them about you." This is the word of our God. After Paul has talked about his travel plans, and after he has spent some time discussing the ministry that they share, that is the ministry of reconciliation, which we carry about as messages within jars of clay, after Paul does all that, he gets to what is going to be the main topic of his letter for the next, three or four chapters, actually. And the topic is one of stewardship. And it's this project that he's got as the major project of the third missionary journey is the collection for the saints, the collection for the believers in Jerusalem, because there's going to be a famine coming, and the Christian churches are doing what they can to alleviate the suffering of their fellow believers back in Jerusalem. Agabus, you might remember, Agabus had foretold the famine back in the book of Acts, and so Paul acted on that and said, well, this would be a fantastic way for these new Gentile churches to demonstrate their unity in faith and to work together for a common goal and to demonstrate their love for the Jewish churches back in Palestine. And so he has set about collecting an offering, and the way that he does it is actually, it's really neat, and he makes some references to that here, where he wants to steward the offering and manage the offering in a way that is acceptable and that any outside observer would see was being responsible, as well as everybody in the church was seeing that it was handled properly. And then there are also there's also men that are selected from each congregation to assist in bringing this offering to Jerusalem. And the funny part there is, keep in mind, we're not talking about a paper check or a couple of paper checks. We're talking about, you know, physical currency, whether it's, you know, a chest of some money or bags or something like that. And so part of it is just practical. You need somebody to help carry this, and then you need enough people to help make sure that it arrives there safely. And so chapter 8 right here really leads off with the rest of the next major topic of stewardship. And it is connected to the rest, because he had talked previously about the stewardship of the gospel, our sharing together in the gospel, in the gospel ministry. And that's the number one thing that we steward, that we all share and hold this gospel together. Jesus had a couple of parables about that. Most specifically, when we get to the stewardship of the gospel, we've got the parable of the 10 minas, or minas, eeny, meeny, miny, minamo. The 10 minas, where 10 different servants are each given one mina, and then they invest it as well as they can. One guy buries it, another guy invests it and gets 3 more, 5 more, 10 more, something like that. And in that parable, I think it's from the Gospel of Luke, like, I don't know, maybe Luke 18. I'll have to look that up here. In that parable, each servant is given the exact same amount. It's not like another parable where one servant was given 1 coin or 3 coins or 5 coins. Each servant was given the exact same mina and told, put this to use. And so the believer holds the exact same gospel message. And God tells us, put this to use for his glory. And that's the primary thing that we are stewards of. You know, stewardship, to manage something, to invest it, you know, like an investment advisor, to take care of it and get a return with it. After spending 7 chapters talking about really an investment in the gospel ministry together, Paul goes the next logical step to say, how can we demonstrate our love for God and our love for our neighbor in this offering? And a couple of things that jump out. He asks, or he makes reference to the churches in Macedonia up by Philippi, Thessalonica, far in the, you know, just north of Greece, when he had first arrived there. And verses, you know, 2, 3, and 4, talking about their desire to share in this ministry, even though they probably weren't able to afford it, that they gave beyond what they were able to. And so this church in Corinth, which is in a far wealthier area, at least in comparison, this church in Corinth is urged to complete the gracious gift that they had begun, to demonstrate their love in bringing it to completion, whatever it may be. And of course, you know, verses 8 and 9, Paul kind of goes back and forth, where he goes from applications and instruction to reminder. Verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And what he's doing is resetting their matrix, resetting the way that they count wealth. That it's not just dollars in the bank account, but it's also the glory and the riches of being in this right relationship with God. This God who is very overflowing in giving everything that we needed for our salvation. And so Paul kind of goes back and forth, and he says, oh, by the way, you know, verses 13 through 15, God's going to make sure that you won't have too much or too little. And in sharing in this this offering together, the churches will encourage one another and be brought to a tighter, closer unity. And so the topic that he introduces here, he's going to take up for a couple of more chapters. And over the next couple of chapters, we can highlight a couple of applications that specifically apply to us when we consider how we may be good stewards of all that Christ has given to us. And today, we're just going to highlight verses 11 and 12. Well, really verse 12. For if the eagerness is there, a gift is acceptable according to what someone has, not according to what he does not have. Where the Christian might think to oneself, you know, I'm not able to give that large amount of money that somebody else does or is able to. All I've got is, you know, this smaller amount of money that I'm able to contribute for the good of the church. And verse 12, you know, Paul highlights, if the eagerness is there, if the heart is in the right place, then the gift to God is acceptable. And God's not going to judge you based on what you don't have. Like if you're not a millionaire, God's not going to expect you to give a larger amount of money. The gift is acceptable based on the heart, the eagerness that says, I know why I'm giving this. For the glory of my Lord and for the benefit of my fellow believers. And that the gospel that we steward together, that the gospel may reach somebody else, somebody more. You can find us Wednesday evenings, 7 p.m., Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. at 2250 South Hollandsvania Road in Maumee. You could also give us a follow on Instagram. Just search up @RaisedWithJesus. God bless your day.